So what I might do is just give an assessment of where I see things are at on the benchmark front. Provided a bit of an assessment to the FSB a couple of months ago. So as the recommendations of the report that Paul Fisher and I put together along with the rest of the group last year, basically we're in four categories. Firstly, around benchmark methodology. Secondly, around the execution infrastructure. Thirdly, around market conduct. And then fourthly, some stuff around central bank benchmark rates. So let me talk a bit about where we are in terms of the benchmark methodology. So the first main recommendation was the WM widen the window. And as you all know, on the 16th of February, they have widened the window for the major currency pairs from 1 minute to 5 minutes. So we've now had basically 2 months under that new regime. We've had one quarter end, and I suppose my impression and that I've, which is confirmed by talking to a number of participants, is that so far that all seems to be going all right. The shift to the wider window, I think has spread roughly the same flow over a longer period of time. I don't think we've seen too much flow either leave the fixing window or additional flow come into it. So it's, I think it's still basically the same flow over a longer period of time. At the same time, he also suggested that WM, or recommended that WM incorporate some more feeds into the fixed calculation. They have done that. They've started to utilise some more, particularly using both Reuters and EBS. They look broadening that out to other feeds in the fairly near future, provided those feeds are of appropriate quality. Third recommendation, which a number of people are interested in, was that they form a user group. They are in the process of doing that. They assure me they're reasonably well advanced in that, and it will be from both the buy side and the sell side. And I would hope that that is up and running fairly shortly, particularly advising around things like incorporating more data feeds. So hopefully we'll see some movement on that from them fairly shortly. On the execution infrastructure, I suppose the ones which receive the most attention are that people actually charge for the fix in a transparent manner, and one which is consistent with the risk borne. Progress on that is, I think now, as of today, from the major participants, most of them, if not all, are actually charging in one form or another. There are, I would say, basically three different ways that people are charging. They're either using WM bid offer. They're charging a fixed fee based on the risk transfer they assess they bear during the window, with sort of numbers around $50 a million or so being sort of standard fee which is out there. And the third method is basically what I would call rent an algo, which is you can execute your own business through the fix by using a bank's algo, which they'll rent out for you for that purpose. So all three of those offerings are out there. A number of banks are actually offering all three. I'd say most of the larger participants in the market are charging, at least as of the beginning of April. There are, a bit further down the scale, the implementation of that has been a bit mixed. But I think we're getting a general move towards that and general industry acceptance of that, I think. The other recommendation we made around that was that people should separate their fixed business from the rest of their business. Not necessarily actually physically, I put people in a different room, but at least electronically. And there has been a reasonable amount of progress on this alongside as people have started charging for that. The main principle we want to get across there was the separation or segregation of information flows, as I said. Not that you can do that physically, you can do that electronically. The third area we made recommendations around was around market conduct. We have a decent amount of stuff on that. As most of you should be aware, at the meeting of the global FXCs in Tokyo last month, after that we published shared global principles. which articulated a lot more information, a lot more detail around appropriate conduct in the market. Also coming out of that, so we've got that out there. Also coming out of that, we said there are two pieces of work which we are looking, which the global FXCs are going to be working on over the next 12 months. One is around getting greater harmonization of the various codes that apply in each of the eight markets. The second, which I'm responsible for, is is getting better adherence to the codes. So rather than, the codes are all very nice and look good on paper, but how are we going to actually get the market to demonstrate greater adherence to that? In part to address the concerns which are out there around conduct, and also to provide assurance to the counterparties. So that's work in progress, which the FXCs are going to do a fair amount of work on, in particular over the next 12 months. So I suppose that's the other, finally, let me just say the other thing that the FXCs are doing over the next couple of months is, rather than us make an assessment based on me ringing a bunch of people in the market, what we're actually going to do is get each of the foreign exchange committees to get their members to provide a more formal assessment of where they're at in terms of meeting those recommendations, both around the charging and particularly around the market conduct side of things. So that process has just got underway. The idea is to have a set of assessment of the state of play as at the end of middle of the year, as at the end of June, pull that together over sort of July, August, and feed that back to the FSB sometime a bit later in the year. So maybe let me finish there by way of introduction.
Sure, okay. Just one question on that. Are you a little bit concerned that without systematising the process, there will be peripheral banks getting around these recommendations by not charging?
There is some concern around that. There are also a couple of practicalities which have come to light, which we probably need to provide a bit more guidance around. So one is what happens on some of the second smaller currency pairs, where particularly around the separation, if you're the only person in the market and there's only one of you, it's somewhat difficult to separate yourself into two in terms of, and then also, and then getting it across to people that actually this, particularly around the charging, we expect that to be an industry. That's not just for the big guys.
Yeah.
It's not just for the 4PM. It's actually around benchmark rates generally across all markets. We are seeing that being applied across all markets, but not universally, and it's to get a better assessment of the state of play there.
Guy, are you concerned with, or are you observing with the wider window, opportunities for gaming? Because obviously there's a lot of people with technology out there trying to sort of get a feel for this new regime. Do you think it's still early days, or do you think we've sort of solved the problem?
I wouldn't claim we necessarily solved the problem, but I think it might take a while for people to adapt to the new regime if they want to exploit it. But my assessment, which is confirmed again by talking to some people in the market, is that actually, 5 minutes is a longer time than 1 minute,
yeah.
And actually trying to hold the market away, it's just a longer risk period. And if you've got a strategy which is trying to exploit it, it's just harder to do over 5 than it is over 1 minute. Now, that doesn't mean, as we have more experience...
Oh, tell me about
it. But I don't see it yet.
And one of the issues out there, and I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, Guy, but I don't think the recommendation has dealt with it, but is actually prefix netting. Now, I know the FCA has referred to it saying prefix netting in the appropriate environment is okay. Do you sort of see that as being one of the next evolutions of how we fix getting that utility together?
No, the netting of all the participants in the market into a central exchange would clearly alleviate much of the pressure if they're all in opposite directions. But since everyone is doing the same index and everyone's in the same direction, that's going to be very, very difficult to do. I think even with the best intentions with a centralized market, you're going to have large flows in the same direction.
Guy, from your perspective, I mean, is this something that you feel is just going to take time?
I mean, Mark mentioned it earlier, and actually I had Daryl Hooker in town earlier for Australia. I've just come from Australian FXC meeting a couple of hours ago, and we were talking about this. I mean, I think there is still capacity for a market-wide netting utility out there, and yes, there are issues around how you handle the net, but I still think there are potential gains to be had from that, and it's certainly, there are problems, but I think people can potentially work through them. I think there are some potential gains which are still there to be had, and I think it's certainly worthy of further exploration. I'm not sure we'll necessarily get there, but I think it's still worth further consideration.
Guy, from your perspective, I mean, this is clearly an ongoing work. Do you sort of see last year's recommendations as a starting point on the journey? I mean, Mark referred to it as no silver bullets. Was it Mark or was it Jim? Mark referred to it as no silver bullet. I mean, so do you see this as being a very much a sort of work in progress?
I mean, as I said on the utility, I think there is potentially more progress. I mean, going back to a couple of points you made, Colin, I mean, there is already that imbalance going through the market currently. Actually, if you try and net that down, you're going to be reducing what is there currently. So it's not like they're going to, it's there. It's a problem the market has to deal with even in its current configuration. And if they're supposed to net that down, they're arguably reducing it. I think as someone just said a minute ago, it's a question of what risk someone's willing to absorb that, and then how do you appropriately price that back to those who are generating that flow. So I think on that one at least it's a starting point. And just on the other one, which I think is a work in progress, very much around the conduct stuff. I mean, on the charging side of things and five is not necessarily the right answer for the window. I mean, we said wider than one. Five is wider than one, so that's fine. But, five is not necessarily the magic number. I mean, I think, you, Colin, came up with that 10 was the magic number. So, that potentially is still a work in progress. But at least I think we've moved to a better spot. Doesn't mean we necessarily moved to the best spot.
Yeah. And to pick up one of your points earlier, the likelihood is, are we saying that certain currency pairs may get a shorter or longer window going forward?
I'm not sure about the shorter, longer, I think potentially for some of the less liquid ones. I mean, if there's one trade every fortnight, that may be the length of the window, right?
With these changes then to the fix, maybe I'll start with you, Guy, again. Do you think that these changes are likely to drive more volume? I was interested when you said you've seen little change, observable change in terms of the number of people using the fix and the flow going through. Do you think it will continue that way?
Not sure. I mean, there's two competing forces here. There's one, I mean, you're now getting charged for executing at the fix, so if you don't have to do it, then the fact that you're paying for that may mean you want to go to another time of day. But working against that, the fix is still the most, if you define liquidity in terms of volume, which may not be the right way to do it, but if you do, then it's still by far and away the largest volume window through the day. So I think those forces are working in both directions, and it's not entirely clear to me which way they go.
Okay, we've actually got a question from the floor, so far away.
Guy, it's David Clark here from ACI and the WNBA. That last topic, I think, really pushes the discussion forward. But could I ask you a question on benchmark regulation and one of the potential impacts, because you've been looking at this very closely across a number of asset classes. We've now got designated critical benchmarks in the UK. This means that the benchmarks will be regulated in a much more formal sense. And you're also aware from the other FSB work done through the IBORs that this is certainly posing huge risks, regulatory risks, to the participants, many of whom, frankly, just don't want to take part if they're exposed to that regulatory risk. Now, I think there are two questions I'd like to ask if you've considered in the work that you've been doing for the FSB on this. One is, in FX in particular, but in, across the piece with the asset classes, is there a danger to liquidity because of, let us say, very enthusiastic formal benchmark regulation? And aligned with that, something which was touched on in your report, but perhaps we are seeing much more closely when we look at benchmark regulation, and that is, what's the benchmark for? Who are the beneficiaries? Who uses them? And who does it cost? Is that something that may be best left to the private sector, or is it something which, as a central banker, an FSB member, concerns you?
Thanks, David. On the first one, at least on the FX space, I'm not actually sure. I don't know that designating the benchmark as a regulated activity is actually going to be so problematic, because the FX one, unlike the IBORs, at least the IBORs as they currently exist, not necessarily where they're going, but in the FX space, it is a calculated benchmark on, you know, there, you know, one thing which may clear up, in the FX space, there is no shortage of transactions. Arguably, one could make the point that there are too many transactions through the fixing window. If we didn't have a problem with a shortage of transactions, I don't think that's going to be a problem any time in the foreseeable future, which is certainly not the case on the IBOR front, where there is a problem around shortage of transactions. So if you want to have a transaction-based benchmark, it's much more problematic in the interest rate space than the FX space, and I really don't see it being a problem anytime soon. And I certainly haven't picked up any concerns from industry participants around that in the FX space. In terms of appropriate use of the benchmark, I suppose one point that Paul and I made in our report was we were quite struck by the number of market participants we talked to who used the benchmark without actually thinking about it. And one thing which we did actually say was, you know, you have a sort of fiduciary duty to your clients to demonstrate best execution. Now, best execution may well and truly be the executing at the 4 p.m. fix, but it doesn't, it's not definitionally so, and could you, you know, might at least be worth your while to actually have a think about it. So it wasn't like we were going to go and say, you know, this group of people should use the benchmark and this group of people shouldn't, but it was more at least getting a bunch of people to actually think about whether they should or shouldn't.
Guy, do you think the sort of these end users of the fixes, as Simon just referred to there, need time? Do you think they could do with a gentle poke with the end of one's boot to keep the momentum going? Because it strikes me, and Simon, you can ask this as well, but it strikes me that if they can take 5-10 years to say they need to adapt to this, they will take it.
I didn't say 5-10 years.
No.
I think 12 months okay. I think would be helpful for the buy side. And this is sort of in my conversation with the buy side, it sounds like this is sort of the time frame they need and what they're looking for.
Guy?
Well, I mean, I think so. Having to pay for something tends to focus the mind a little. I think rather than getting it for free, and so they are paying for it now. But then it takes, in a number of, someone mentioned this earlier, there are a lot of mandates which just say you have to execute at the fix, and it takes a hell of a long time to change mandates. That is actually a 5 to 10 year process to go back upstream to do that. But in the meantime, I mean, you know, they are actually paying for it, and so I think that does at least set that thought process in train. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to change their mind. So, So I do think the period of adaption potentially is quite long, but I think what our job was basically trying to do was at least put in place a market structure that was more robust. It will continue to evolve over time, but at least move it to a place as quickly as possible at least makes it a bit more robust.
Yeah. What needs to be done then, do you think, to maintain the momentum of change? What can we do as an industry?
Well, I mean, we, as I said earlier, right at the beginning, we, the FXCs, which is both central banks and the market participants, working on a number of things, particularly, I mean, around the conduct stuff, but also, you know, we're not, it's not a sort of once-off process, we'll do this and then it's done. Yeah. We'll be sort of seeing how it goes. And if it's not working, then we'll have to think about doing something else or making further changes. But there are some stuff, particularly on the conduct stuff, which is one aspect of this, there is, you know, there is more, plenty more to be done, and there is, say, some momentum of change there. We were talking about the utility earlier. I think that's something where there is still, there is momentum. There are a number of people, Mark and his outfit are certainly one of them, who are very, quite keen on that proposition. But they're not the only ones. So, you know, I think in a number of these aspects, there are, there is change. The other thing which I mentioned earlier, it comes to some of the points around transparency and the like, is that if WM starts having more interaction with market participants on, you know, there is potential, there is more potential to drive appropriate market-driven change there as well.
Just to close out, Guy, how happy are you with the progress you think the industry's made?
I mean, I think it's pretty reasonable now. I mean, you know, we put out the report in September, and so we're only just 6 months down the track, and I think there's been reasonable change. I said, you know, the window's changed, the charging has started. Is it universal? No, it's not. Is it reasonably widespread? I would say, yeah, it's reasonably so. So, you know, I think as these things go, it's reasonable, I would say. That's, you know, there's more to be done, but so far I think it's off to an okay start.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to draw any conclusions between Sydney having such wild weather and poor connectivity and Daryl Hooker being there. I'll leave you to do that. Guy, thank you very much for sort of breaking into your evening for us. Jim, Mark, Simon, equally thank you. Please join me in thanking our panel.